Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Behind the Funny.
Make sure you're hitting that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the great episodes we have coming out.
And if you enjoy it, please tell a friend about us. Really helps the podcast out.
Yeah, we appreciate it very much.
And other than that, we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Be careful.
And Scott Higgins, both of them coked up out of their minds.
Listen to you. He's down in the basement. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I think we should call this the Acement.
The Acement, yes.
Yeah, what do you think there, huh?
I like that. The Acement Studios. Oh.
Excuse me, I'm drinking beer. Hold
on a second. We usually drink bourbon on our end.
Yeah, right.
Our podcast, so
that's all right.
Feel free to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You shoot an eight ball if you want. We don't care. As long as it's good stories.
And welcome to the Acement, everybody. It's time to go behind the funny. This is Scott Higgins. And notice, remotely, it's Ace Aceto.
From the traffic copter.
From the traffic copter, as Brad says.
fresh out of, instead of taking 3 hours to get home, it's taking five because something happened on the Mass Pike.
Just move there.
Well, you're the one that has to have a fucking day job.
What a loser. He's got a real job.
Yeah, you didn't involuntarily retire like I did this week.
I know.
And Brad's never had a real job, so
that's jobs. Who needs
Brad it? Hasn't had a real job since 1992.
Exactly.
That was a good year.
Exactly. So anyway, our bourbon dates this week, Horse Soldier, which I am drinking, and Brad is having our old friend Jefferson's.
Yes,
Special
delicious.
Reserve, which is he's definitely enjoying. So
yes.
But Brad is one of our favorites because every time we have him on shortly afterwards, Ace and I will get a text, usually about 10:30 at night, that says, oh my God, I have another story for the podcast.
Yep.
Ace, I'm gonna direct these stories at you.
Okay.
Not because I've already did this with Scott and he had the mics on mute and did all this.
I was going to act like that didn't happen.
No,
you piece
it totally
of shit.
Didn't. I'm just going to do this, Ace, because I love you and I feel so bad you couldn't be in the studio. I'm going to direct these stories at you and and see your reaction. And Scott, if he acts like he's never heard him before,
I can act.
I want to say that. I was telling Scott before we started this amazing podcast, it's really weird to me it's weird to me that I will be going through something at a comedy show that's so stressful and I'm legit either angry, sad, frustrated, or all of the above. And my instinct, my quickest reaction, take out my phone and text Ace and Scott. Like, not like call, like talk to the coordinator, talk to the owner of the company, pray. Like, it's literally like text you guys and be like, well, I got a story for you because shit just went sideways.
And then you open up your notes and you type in a keyword so that you remember them now.
That's correct.
Exactly.
I'm gonna tell these stories in a completely different order because I like to stay fresh. And apparently, you got some other clown chiming in from Zoom from Arkansas or something soon. So I'm gonna try to hit you with these stories. Ace.
Oh my God!
Some other clown with a Netflix special. That's
well,
all.
Good for him. All I know is I bet the mics work when he's on and he doesn't have to tell the same stories over again. That's all I know.
That's because I'll be there. So the mics
will
work.
We think. We'll see if that tornado catches you.
Some other clown with an Netflix, nothing, Amazon Prime, and Comedy Central
I don't even know
special.
Who the guy is. You tell the guy I love him. I don't mean anything against him. I'm really making fun of Scott. All right.
And deservedly so.
I'm sure he's more successful than me, which isn't saying
much. The sad part is, I even said to him beforehand, let me check the settings because we've learned the hard way that we fuck up episodes if we don't check things.
I said to Scott, how come I can't hear myself? I can usually hear myself. And he goes, don't worry about it. Just
I'm like, I can hear you fine. It's fine.
I was like, I don't know, man. I can always hear myself. Something seems weird. He's like, just drink your bourbon.
Oh, my God.
All right, ready for some stories, Ace?
Go for it, buddy.
Try not to drive off the side of the road.
Yeah, I'm
ready. Ace, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes when I do comedy, like, things don't always go the way I want them to go. You know what I mean?
We have like six podcast episodes just of your shit shows. We know.
All right, so here we go.
You have been on this podcast more times than any other guest, so we know.
I could come every week with a new story. I'm going to start with one of the most recent stories for you. Okay, this is only like a week, 2 weeks ago. Sold out show. Full packed, it's a small room, so it's like really packed in like sardines. Hot crowd, man. Really hot crowd. I'm like, this is going to be great because like Jeff went up, had a great set. Tom went up, had a great set. I'm like, this crowd is ready to go. So I go up on stage right off the bat. They're into it. I made fun of the room a little bit because it was like the oldest building in the world and it looked like a church, but it's not a church. Anyways, I notice a guy right up front, with a ridiculous ponytail. So like this fat guy with a ponytail, almost like a current day Steven Seagal type of situation. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm doing my thing. I say something about his hair. I think I said something like, I feel like you gave up on barbers and dieting on the same day. Something like that. And I'm playing around, like talking to his wife. And she goes, it was kind of honorable and kind of sweet. Like she kind of like was trying to compliment him because I'm making fun of him.
Yeah.
And she seemed like she was laughing. So she seemed okay with it. And she goes, you know, he's a very good singer. And by the way, the crowd is laughing. It's not like I'm bombing, which I have done. I don't know. Off air, we talked about me bombing at a police fundraiser. Different story. Anyways, the crowd was laughing. She's like, they seem fine. I usually have a pretty good radar if someone's upset. Anyways, she goes, actually, my husband's a very good singer, which was out of context. But I was like, oh, is that what he's doing with the look? Is he going for like a meatloaf thing? And then I started singing. I said, I would do anything for love, but I won't lose weight. And which which people like Scott enjoyed. It turns out.
That's so fucking insulting. That it's hilarious.
Turns out not everybody in the room loved it. I didn't even at this point didn't even know that this was an issue. I'm going along and I go on to my next bit and I'm doing a bit. I'm in the middle of my next bit. I'm only 5 minutes into my set, I'd say. 5-6 minutes. And the fucking fire alarm goes off.
What?
No, wait. Let me rewind for a half second. Let me rewind a beat for you.
Okay.
I'm making fun of the ponytail guy, talking with him and his wife. There's a young guy next to him, who I believe is the same guy I met before the show, said he knows my friend Gary, seems like a nice kid. As I'm starting the next joke, that young guy walks out of the room. Like, there's a door next to the stage. I have no idea where this door leads, by the way, because it's not where anybody came in from. But anyways, he walks out, which I didn't think anything of. I go back to the crowd. I'm doing my next bit. I even made a joke about him leaving. So I forget what I said. I go back to the crowd. I'm doing my next bit. Fire alarm goes off. Holy shit. Only, like, Ace, of all the people you know, if the fire alarm was to go off 5 minutes into this set, who would it be?
You.
Of course. So the fire alarm's going off, and I'm thinking, of course this is happening during my set. So I don't know what to do. So I'm just riffing. I'm just riffing about the fire alarm going off. And in my head, I'm thinking, I am so mad at myself for not recording this set. If there's ever been a set I regret not recording, it was this one. Because, holy shit, the fire alarm's going off. And people are just sitting there. I'm like, guys, I don't know if we should just be sitting here. I don't know what's going on right now. So after, like, I don't know, 3 minutes of riffing during a, I don't know if you guys have ever heard a fire alarm. They're pretty loud.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's usually a flashing light.
Oh, there was
the
a flashing
alarm.
Light. Yes. So eventually my brother comes up. He's like, hey, guys, we're going to clear out. We're all going to go outside. What in the hell just happened in Ace's car? Ace, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Hold on.
I think he's trying to send us a cockpit.
I can hear
you. You all right?
Yeah,
Ace is on the road. I'm very nervous about
this. Fucking, I'm telling you, it is absolutely ridiculous on the roads today. Everyone is either fucking tractor trailer trucks blowing fuel all over the place, trucks exploding. Now some guy just decided, I don't know, to charge his battery in the middle of the fucking lane. So
yikes.
I'm ready to lose my shit. But God,
you know who I blame? Alan Funk.
You mean
which is a callback to something only Scott heard.
To a muted part he did earlier. He's blaming Alan Fung for everything tonight.
Because we love Alan Fung. We love Alan Fung. Anyways, it's a callback to something nobody understands. Anyways, so fire alarm goes off. While this is all going on and we're trying to clear out the room, Ponytail Man stands up, looks at me, and tells me to fuck myself.
Oh, what? Shit.
And a lot of people heard him. And I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa, dude. Sorry, man. I didn't realize you were that mad. Fire alarm finally gets shut off. I'm at the bar in the other end of the room. Ponytail guy's coming up. I'm like, oh, no. Is this guy coming to, like, fight me? Because maybe he knows Aikido or something. I don't know. So he's coming. That's a Seagal reference. Anyway, so he comes. And he's like,
I
know.
But you know some shit, too.
I feel confident I could have took. I'm not the toughest guy in America, but I feel like I could have.
You can at least
that,
defend
but,
yourself.
Right. So he comes over, and thankfully, because I never wanted to go there. Ugh, that would be the worst thing ever. I would definitely be fired. Anyways, he goes, hey, I know you're doing comedy and everything, but that was a bit more. I said, dude. Let me just tell you right off the bat, I'm sorry. If I knew you were upset, I would have stopped. And I was just about, I said, I make fun of myself a lot in my act. Like, a lot of my act is self-deprecation. My whole story is Seinfeld walked out during my thing. My mother doesn't believe in me. My wife is better than me. All this shit, right. I didn't get the Sam Adams bit. Like, I shit on myself the whole act. I said, I was so early on, but if the fire alarm didn't go off, you would have heard that I was going to make fun of myself. I don't mean anything serious. Anyways, he's like, well, actually, and this is where the truth came out. He goes, actually, I've been wanting to try comedy myself, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, here's the situation. This guy is insecure because he wants to be doing comedy and he's not. And he got all riled up. I think that's what it was. Now, meanwhile, people are coming up to me going, dude, don't let it bother you. That was so funny. I loved when you sang. Whatever. Also, in the middle of all that, before Ponytail comes to me, my brother goes, hey, someone says they think that kid pulled the fire alarm because Ponytail guy told him to. So when Ponytail guy's in my face, I said, did you tell him to pull the fire alarm? Because that's what I was just told. He goes, no, we didn't do that. We don't know. The guy who runs the place told my brother they have a faulty fire alarm. That they've had issues with it before. But it's very suspicious that 10 seconds after this kid walks out, the fire alarm goes off. A little suspicious.
That's what I was thinking. When you said the kid got up and walked out, that was my first thought. That kid pulled the fire alarm.
Yep.
Well, and Ace, you were in a volunteer fire department for a while. So was I. A lot of those fire alarms, they put a paste on the back of them that you can check their fingers with a
that
black
kid was
light.
Long gone.
Okay.
But, so we'll never know.
Yeah.
But it's
exactly.
Very suspicious. And the crazy thing is after this all gets like finished up, If you guys ever have, like, next time you guys talk to Tom, I have Tom Stewart in here. I would love to hear in another perspective of this crazy night because he was there.
Right.
And he almost left. He's like, oh, let's stay for a little bit. He's like, oh, I'm so glad I stayed. Ask him his perspective. I would love to hear an outside perspective of this whole situation. But the crazy thing is, after all this, I got to go back up and do another 30 minutes.
Right.
Oh.
It was nuts. But they were one of the best audiences I've ever experienced.
You never know. Yeah.
From start to finish. That one guy was mad. Everybody else in that room was the coolest people I ever met. Yeah. I made fun of them. The coordinator and her friends were right up front. It was a group of women. They had a blast. I made fun of them. We had a lot of good banter. But sometimes it's just one guy. And look, I make fun of a lot of people. But I did feel bad. I'm really not trying to ruin someone's night. And I told the guy
No. And we talked about that earlier about, you know, comedy nowadays. People take it too seriously because, you know, people need to understand there's no harm behind what we're saying. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're just trying to be funny. We're making an observation about something that we thought was ridiculous, that was silly, that was stupid. And we're just making an observation on it and pointing it out, the ridiculousness of it. That's what comedy is. It's social commentary. And people lose their minds nowadays over this stuff. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you got to understand, you know, just because you don't agree with us doesn't make us wrong, and because you disagree with me doesn't make you wrong. It's just different perspectives.
And I'm just trying to survive up there, is how I put it.
So it wasn't wrong, right?
Right.
Yeah. And after he left, I said that guy, because everybody knew he was mad. I said, well, he shouldn't be mad at me. He should be mad at his baba. I didn't make him look like that. And he sat right up front, dude. So
sometimes you shouldn't tag things and add on.
Yeah, they were laughing. So I'm gonna just rapid fire these because I know we're running out of time. My positive story, which I know you guys aren't interested in, was the Hulk Hogan thing. I wanted to tell you guys about how I met Hulk Hogan a couple times this month.
Because I grew up a huge wrestling fan.
I was diehard Hulk Hogan.
I saw Hulk Hogan, not to divert from your story.
No, go ahead.
I saw when he first came to WWF and won the belt over the Iron Sheik when Backlund brought him in. Yeah. Back then, you didn't have social media, so you didn't realize what was going on. But I was at the Worcester Centrum and watched it live happen.
That's so cool.
I didn't realize that they did that same thing every night at every arena they went to, you know, at that time. But I got to see that live.
Which was probably like an awesome childhood experience.
Oh, dude, I was probably 12.
Yeah, I grew 11. Up on that shit. I had all the action figures. My neighbor and I used to get the pay-per-views, the WrestleManias, the SummerSlams.
Like, I saw WrestleMania 1, I saw on closed circuit television at the Worcester Centrum.
Yeah, I remember going to see No Holds Barred, the movie with Zeus and all that. So to meet Hulk Hogan
But you don't even have to be a wrestling fan because Hulk Hogan transcended wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like the Michael Jordan of wrestling.
Right, he became bigger than wrestling.
Right.
Because he did some movies. He was in Rocky III.
Oh, yes, which the first time I met him.
Thunderlips in the
flesh. I called him Thunderlips the first time I met him.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. His character became so big, he transcended wrestling.
Yep.
So that is an iconic...
Yeah, he's like an American icon.
...character. Yeah, exactly. So you getting to meet him, and that video of you turning around and talking to him and everything is phenomenal.
Thank you. So what happened was I was down in Florida like a month, just over a month ago, doing some shows. The final night, so my wife and I had gone a year ago to that same situation. Went to Hulk Hogan's hangout, went to the bar, went to karaoke night, and we saw him. But it's like you have to strategically put your song in because we sang, and then like right after we sang, he came in. So we didn't get to meet him sing in front of him. Yeah. So, like, we were bummed for a full year.
Of course.
So, back down there doing shows, we're like, all right, I'll do some shows. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we're going to go back to Hogan's Hangout for karaoke night, baby. This time, we got to sing in front of him. We each got to sing a song in front of him. When I went up, I was riffing like crazy. Because, like, here's my chance to say a bunch of crazy shit in front of Hulk Hogan and his family. His son hosts the night. Nick, really nice guy. And I get off stage and I'm like, Kama, did you record that? She was so nervous. She had my phone, and when she didn't hit record until like after all my riffing, until I was already singing. I was like, oh shit, I said so many crazy things. I'm like, that's all right, we're not
done
with this.
The video came out well.
Oh,
it
yeah,
came out
yeah,
really
so,
good.
So that you're probably thinking the second video. So, but yeah, no, the first video was some cool stuff too. So anyways, so I met him. He was super cool. Met his son, super cool. Great experience. Common and I both got footage with Hulk Hogan. We were so thrilled. We were telling everybody, oh my gosh. Like, so then, like a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, I was setting up a show with Bill. Somebody calls me from Clearwater. Hey, this is so-and-so from Hulk Hogan's Hangout. We're wondering if you're coming down for the quarterfinals. And I'm like, you know, I don't live in Florida. She's like, well, you won that night, you won that award, and you're entered in the quarterfinals of the karaoke contest. So I tell Common, hey, they're asking me if I'm coming down. And this is why my wife is the coolest, man, because all the bullshit she puts up with, I don't know how many wives would be like, yes, you absolutely have to go. She couldn't even come. She had to work. She's like, you absolutely have to go sing in front of Hulk Hogan. It's a non-paid, not even a comedy gig, to sing one song in front of Hulk Hogan. And my wife's like, yeah, go. You got to go. And that's why she's the coolest. So I'm like, she's not wrong. I have to go sing in front of Hulk Hogan. I will fly to Florida to sing a song.
In front of Hulk Hogan.
For Hulk Hogan. So I did, got to meet him again. And the cool thing is, after the first time meeting him, I instantly wrote a bit about that night. All true stories. If you've ever seen the bit, it's all true. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to send this bit to his son, Nick, who hosts the karaoke night. And he responded. He's like, which is really cool of him. He's got a bazillion followers. He got back to me. He followed me back. He said, I liked it. It's really funny, which was so cool. And I said, well, I'm going to come down to the quarterfinals. I go down. I do it. And again, I was like, here's my chance. I have, 20 seconds before the song starts to say as many crazy fucking things as I can. And that's what I did, because I tend to comment, I'm not a good singer. I'm not going to win a karaoke contest. So as soon as they hand me a microphone, I just went off for like 20 seconds to say as many things as I could, because I knew I couldn't. I'm not a singer. So there's a video of that on my Instagram, Brad Pierce Comedian, shameless plug, of me just riffing. I handed Hulk Hogan and Nick Hogan Brad Pierce t-shirts. I went nuts. I just said a bunch of crazy shit.
Did you give him the right size?
I think so. I did my best.
He's cutting the sleeves off already.
So anyways, it was a cool experience.
Hold on. Hold on. What's that, Ace?
I said he's only going to rip it off anyway. So.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, brother.
What I would get.
I had this guy, Brad Pierce, down here. Fantastic comedian. He's fucking funny as hell, brother.
What I would give for a video of him ripping off.
Go ahead, Ace.
I want to know. So when you got up there and started saying crazy shit, did you go, hey, let me tell you about this fat, overweight, current Steven Seagal guy this week?
I did all that. I didn't win, shockingly. I did not win the karaoke contest because it was actually really good singers there. But the cool thing is Nick said something about me coming down for this this like variety type show thing to have me do some comedy down there, which is really cool. That's what I'm hoping. The first time I met Hulk Hogan, I literally handed him a business card. I said, Hulk Hogan, please hire me to do comedy at your house. Thank you. So my goal, my dream is to do comedy for them and become best friends with Hulk Hogan. I don't think that's too much to ask.
That's not. I think
No, I think that's very realistic.
Yes. I don't know how much time I have for more stories, because I have plenty.
Going with Hulk on his boat and rubbing the oil on his daughter. You know,
he might be opposed to that. Huh?
I said, stop talking, Scott. Let him get another story out.
All right.
He's got time. Go ahead.
So you guys are familiar with how I almost got the Sam Adams commercial. I've complained about
it
many times.
Yeah. Of course.
The Your Cousin from Boston. Yep. And I see this kid all the time on TV making so much money.
David,
and
those up again. I've been seeing those again. I hadn't seen in a while.
He's got some new ones.
When they come out with like a new beer, they'll be like, it's whatever beer. It's
money.
What's that, Ace?
I said, which means he's making more money that should have been yours.
Not yeah, exactly. Whenever he has a new commercial, cha-ching. and Brad goes, minus.
Yeah, I'm in my living room eating my ramen noodles, and I'm watching this fucking asshole.
And he's at the Capitol Grill going, I got a new commercial this week.
Sam Adams actually gave me shit. I've ever told anybody this story.
Yeah.
I was in Boston. My sister-in-law ran the Boston Marathon. Shout out to Alyssa. That was badass. Yeah. Anyways, they had a big Sam Adams tent. So while she was getting ready to run, I was pounding beers. and I took a picture in front of the big Sam Adams sign. And I was like, they should have hired me, right? And I tagged them.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I don't know what to tell you. Like, get over it, basically. Whatever they said, something on Instagram. Which I thought was so funny that they responded like, Brad, go fuck yourself. So dude, I say all that.
That's a Boston beer company right there.
Hey, all power
to them.
Hold
on, Ace, go ahead.
You should post on their Instagram you doing your bit about not getting it.
Well, I did that bit. I just drank the shit out of this booze. All right, so I say all that to say, it happened again. It happened again. So the first time with the Sam Adams thing, how that happened was Mike Katrobis was nice enough to send me, hey, Brad, they're looking for a New England comic with an accent. And that's how I got the Sam Adams. I'm not an actor, believe it or not, guys. I can't. If they're like, hey, we're looking for a guy to play a French pirate, I'd be like, yeah, that ain't happening. But when they're like,
yeah, but you could be an extra in The Departed.
Exactly. When they're like, we're looking for a guy with a New England accent who's an asshole or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So it happened again. Jay Burns sends me this thing. Hey, we're looking for a guy with a New England accent. Sense of humor or something. I forget what it said. I'm like, oh God, here we go again. And when you first get these things, you don't know what they are.
Right.
It's very limited information. It says contact. This was Slate Casting, also out of Boston. The first time was Boston Casting, both local. I was like, well, here we go again. So I email Slate Casting. I sent them headshot, bio, and I even sent the video of the Sam Adams bit. I said, I actually almost got the Sam Adams. I'm complaining to them. It's not even their casting agency. I'm like, I almost got the Sam Adams thing. Here's a video about it. They reach back. They're like, oh, cool. Awesome. We would love for you to do a video audition. They send me a script. They're like, here's what we want you to do. We want you to do the script. We also want you to take a couple takes of ad-libbing. So here we go. I shoot, Murray helped me out. I shoot a couple video auditions. I say a bunch of crazy shit. Boom. Like a day later, they're like, great, we love it. Can you come to Boston? And I'm like, here we go again. I go to Boston. I get to the audition. And in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm ready this time. Because when I got the call back last time, I got in the room and there was the director and literally a whole table full of people. I don't know who the hell they are. I'm on a monitor seeing myself. There's a spotlight on me. It was nuts. And I feel like maybe I was overwhelmed. Maybe I didn't do too well. But this time, like, I'm ready for this fucking table full of assholes to judge me. I'm ready this time. I've been through this. This time, the lady brings me in. There's no one there. Nobody. Zero people in the room. So I'm like, who am I doing this for? There's nobody here. And then she's like, okay, we're going to begin, and the director will be joining us shortly. And I'm like, if the director's not here, who the hell am I talking to? So, which I didn't say, but I'm thinking it. And it's funny because there's like a storage. We're in the back of some weird room at some weird building in Boston. There's literally like a storage closet in the corner. I'm like, is the director going to pop out of the storage closet in the middle of my take or whatever? Like, I don't know what's going on. But this is so different than last time, which pissed me off because I was like, I had a mental preparation for what to expect. And this ain't it. So and before I go in, the lady says to me, hands me a piece of paper. Hey, we've added another scene. We've added another commercial. So you're going to do the commercial that we sent you, the video, which I memorized, obviously, because I'm a professional, Ace Aceto. And now he's just turned, his car just flipped over. All right, he's back. All right.
His car flipped over.
Ace just went full Duke's ass. So
my phone turned and flipped.
That's less interesting. So they're like, here's a script for the commercial we've added. And I'm like, okay. I go in there and we're doing, and I'm like, okay, I don't know where this director is. I start the, I do the run through of the one I memorized. And then, boom, the director shows up on some screen. I'm like, this asshole didn't even come to Boston. This guy's just from sitting in LA somewhere in his house or whatever. So he comes on, has me do a couple things. And then he's like, okay, we're all set. And I'm thinking, ah, son of a bitch. So I leave. First thing I do is I text my wife. I'm like, I didn't get it. And she's like, how do you know? I'm like, because this guy, they handed me this paper saying they're going to have me read a whole nother scene, a whole nother commercial. And he cut me off and didn't even have me do it. So clearly he hates me. So I'm like, oh, what the hell? Here we go again. Whatever. They hate me. I don't know what I did wrong. I'm thinking through it. What? I don't know shit about acting. So I'm like, I don't know what. Did I not make enough facial expressions? Did I express myself physically? I don't know. So anyways, I get home. I tell Jay Burns and anybody who will listen, hey, I didn't get it. I drove to Boston for nothing. What a waste of my fucking time, right? Then the next day in the morning, I get an email. Hey, are you available for a Zoom today? The director and the producer want to have a Zoom meeting with you. And I'm like, holy shit. And comments like, I told you that maybe they just saw enough from the first one that they liked you.
Yep, that's,
and I'm like, yes. But I'm an asshole, so I figured that couldn't possibly be the case. They clearly hate me. So anyways, I'm like, holy shit. They're going to have a Zoom meeting with me. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is crazy. Because at this point, now they send me three commercials. I'm like, that's a lot of money. I'm like, holy shit, this is big. Like, oh, by the way, I don't even think I told you guys what it is yet. Did I tell you what it is?
No.
No.
It's Ocean Spray.
Cranberry juice.
Are you familiar? It's kind of a big company.
Mike Murray borrowed something for me.
Oh, yes. It all goes full circle.
Yes.
Because Murray's like, I'm going to audition. Yeah.
For
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so the character wears, what do you call that?
Waiters.
Shit? Yeah, they're called waiters. I didn't see. I only know the word suspenders, but waiters is like a fancy.
He borrowed my, because in years past, he borrowed my waiters for a swimming pool. Yeah. And he says to me, dude, do you still have those waiters? I need to borrow them for a commercial that I'm doing.
Believe it or not, he didn't fit well in them.
No, because he's gained weight since the last time he wore them. And I'm like, yeah, dude, they're still the same size and you're not. And he goes, that's all right. I'll be fine. Yeah. I'll be fine. So I dropped him off and I gave him to him.
So he did not get a call back because I am a superior actor. Anyways, I'm obviously kidding because I didn't get the commercial. So and neither did Mike, but whatever. I do the Zoom call thing. I auditioned with the producer, the director, and I felt so good about it. You know me, I'm super negative. I felt really, really, really good about it. And I didn't get it, obviously, because that was weeks ago. And they already filmed it in Toronto.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Once again, I have failed. I didn't win the karaoke contest with Hulk Hogan. I did not get the Ocean Spray commercial, nor the Sam Adams commercial.
And
the guy with the ponytail is pissed.
And Tom Brady still did not come back to New England.
He didn't, but I am going to his New England Hall of Fame thing coming
good.
Up on June
good.
12th.
And he's being roasted on Netflix.
I know, Sunday. I have mixed feelings about it. I think I'm going to get triggered. Like, I'm going to be one of the offended people in the audience. Like, how dare you say that about my Tom Brady? I love Jeff Ross. It should be awesome.
It should be good. It should be a lot of fun. So anyway, Ace Aceto checked out. Brad, thank you so much for coming on. We love having you on. You are definitely a regular segment on the show because it's so fun talking to you. So
thanks for having me.
What do we got to plug for you as far as people checking you out?
Follow me, Brad P.S. Comedian, on pretty much all the platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. I hate TikTok, but it is Brad P.S. Comedian on there. Well, the comedy bus is going strong.
It just got banned by the U.S. government, so TikTok's not going to be around for long.
Good,
so.
Fuck them. I am going, the comedy bus is opening in Newport soon.
Yes.
Everything. Funny if Funds, you, funny, Behind the Funny. I love all you guys.
If you're in the Rhode Island area, the comedy bus in Providence and Newport, it's a lot of fun. They've been packing them in every weekend. Brad does a great job bringing great comedians on there and does a great job himself performing on there. Definitely check out the comedy bus.
And the last thing, my buddy, I'm wearing his shirt. My buddy Gary is fighting at Twin River May 11th. Check that out. CES Boxing. He has two MMA belts. He's fighting for a boxing belt. Check out my boy Gary. That's why I wore his shirt to promote it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Brad. Ace, hope you're safe.
Poor Ace.
I'm almost home. I'm almost sure home.
Are. All right, bud.
Yeah, we'll believe it when we see it.
All right, we'll see you all shortly. Right. Everybody else, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everything you do. We appreciate you guys coming on and joining us every week. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you really want to help out the podcast, one great way to do that is to go wherever you download your episode and give us that 5-star written review.
Yeah, that really helps us with the analytics and the algorithms. Helps more people find us. And speaking of more people finding us, tell a friend about us. If you enjoy the show and you've got friends that enjoy comedy podcasts or podcasts in general, please let them know about Behind the Funny.
Of course, we will talk to you
next week.